Hello, my name's Tom Boone.
And I'm not Joe, I'm Jake Hardiman.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Simple Flying Podcast, where we'll give you the lowdown on the latest news from the world of commercial aviation. Here's what we have for you this week.
Coming up today, Tom will look at the latest airline to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, while I look at why Qantas' latest safety video is turning heads, and not for the right reasons.
I'll see what the latest is with the Boeing 737 MAX, while Jake looks at the end of an era for Loganair.
Finally, Tom will explore how Lufthansa is upgrading its short-haul fleet.
So now you know what's in store, let's get on with the show. And I really wanted to start by, firstly saying welcome to the podcast in place of Joe, Jake.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Nice to be back again.
Yep, but I really wanted to start about talking about the Brazilian airline Gol, because last Tuesday, our Seattle-based journalist Joe Kunzler reported that the airline was in a position where it might need to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in the United States. Now, it seems the reporting was bang on, as last night, as we're recording this on Friday, the airline did go ahead and file for such status. It's important to stress that this does not mean that an airline will certainly have to cease operations. And in fact, over the last couple of years, we've seen several airlines entering these proceedings, only to exit once they've got their financials sorted. So what is Chapter 11? Well, known as bankruptcy protection, it's a legal process filed with the US courts that allow an airline or other business to raise capital, restructure their organization, and strengthen long-term business operations while continuing to operate without significant disruption. This last point, without significant disruption, is key for passengers and staff, as future bookings with the airline are expected to operate as planned. Passengers can also continue to access the airline's Smiles loyalty program and redeem points for future bookings, while staff should continue to expect regular remuneration. Gol is expecting $950 million in financing from the ad hoc group, which is expected to be made available in the next week, subject to court approval. But commenting on this latest news, the airline's CEO, a chap called Celso Ferrer, remarked, "Gol has undertaken significant efforts to provide the best passenger travel experience for our customers. While improving our profitability and financial position, we have made outstanding progress to date and believe that this process will allow us to fully address the challenges caused by the pandemic while we maintain our high standard of service for our customers. This process will enable Gol to further expand our position as a leading Latin American airline while maintaining our purpose of being the first for all." Ferrer went on to add, "We're confident that the steps we're taking will allow us to offer the lowest cost fares with exceptional travel experiences to our customers across an increasing number of routes. Our employees will keep handling their daily activities looking after Gol, safety and quality of its flights. We are pleased to be moving forward with commitments for new capital that will help advance our long-term strategies, including improving affordability, the travel experience and customer choice." So despite the latest news, Gol does seem to remain fairly robust when it comes to operational performance. In fact, in Q3 last year, the airline had some of the best operating results in the whole of Latin America. Net revenue reached 4.7 billion Brazilian real, which is equivalent to $9.5 million. However, I also looked at some of the airline's historical financial results from our friends over at CH Aviation, and the airline posted net loss every year between 2018 and 2021. It was lowest in 2019 at just minus $29 million, but it spiraled to minus $1.3 billion by 2021. So lastly in this segment, I kind of wanted to dive a little deeper and look at Gol's current fleet, again with our friends at CH Aviation. The airline currently has 142 operational aircraft, of which 115 are active. All are models of the Boeing 737 with 16-700s, 45 MAX 8s, 75 800s, and another six 800s that have been converted to freighters. But I think now you wanted to head down under and look at the latest reason Qantas has faced backlash, Jake.
Yes, indeed. So happy new year to everyone. We're a few weeks into 2024 now, and Qantas has really got into the spirit of the old New Year, New Me slogan by revealing a new safety video. And that's actually the first time that it's revamped this clip since its centenary year in 2020. So this was Yeah, first showcased on Thursday. It's a 6-minute clip with clips of 14 of its destinations. These were filmed both in Australia and overseas over a period of 40 days in temperatures ranging from plus 36 to minus 36 Celsius. So a real, interesting challenge for the crew there to know what to wear at all times. It aimed that the engaging visuals of the video would keep passengers' attention when it came to delivering the safety demonstration. And it's been rolled out this week on Qantas flights in 12 different languages. However, it's come under fire shortly after being first posted online. And the reason for that seems to be that a extended cut of the video was posted to Qantas social media channels, amounting to almost 10 minutes long. Naturally, this received criticism for being too long, in fact, to retain passengers' attention. And other commenters picked up on the fact that while the video featured images and videos of cars and boats, there were no Qantas aircraft in the safety video itself. And as stunning as the visuals are, that does lead one to question whether the strategy might have actually backfired in the sense that they're so stunning that they've gone beyond engaging, and are they actually then distracting passengers from the very important safety video message? Qantas later clarified on social media that the extended version that was posted was a cut that was merely intended for online viewing only, and that flights with the new video will indeed have a condensed version. Now, of course, there's two sides of this coin of what's been an interesting argument to start the year for Qantas, for sure. On the one hand, the Australian flag carrier certainly had good intentions in sharing the extended cut online, but you might argue that it would have benefited from clarifying at the first point that the extended cut was indeed only for online viewing and was not going to be present on its flight. On the other hand, many of the commenters online are perhaps guilty of having been too quick to criticise the Australian flag carrier without knowing the full story, in the sense that there was a shorter version available, although that was admittedly a little bit harder to find and tucked away on Qantas's media centre. In any case, it shows that aviation safety is quite an emotive topic early in 2024, following the incidents earlier this month in Japan with the collision, and then also the Alaska Airlines Boeing 737 MAX door incident. Have you had a chance to look at it, Tom? I've certainly not seen it in full yet.
Yeah, I did. I didn't realise how long it was when I watched it, so maybe I watched this 6-minute version, but I did. It's not really a safety video to me. You know, The bit that I really took, I don't want to say issue with, but the thing that really stood out to me was, you know, when they were showing the brace position, for example. This was when they were in India, and the brace position was just shown by some people dressed up very beautifully in just sitting on dinner chairs. And, you know, I can see you can do the brace position on any chair, but I feel like you need to have some sort of connection to an aircraft when you're doing something like this. I think, you know, even if you just, you know, like I like what Air New Zealand does in that, even when they were doing their Hobbit safety videos in the new Lord of the Rings filming locations, they still had, you know, actual aircraft seats that they were sitting on. So this kind of where I come from on this point, and I do agree with the criticism. I think I don't want to be harsh on Qantas, but I think it is one of the worst safety videos I have seen.
Yeah, it's quite a finely balanced matter between engagement and full-on distraction, as may seem to be the case here. But
I don't think it's engaging or distracting. It's just like you just wouldn't pay attention to it at all. I paid attention to it because it's my job to look at these things and read them. But, you know, Qantas has gone a step too far, if you ask me. Even, and I know a lot of the comments are, well, they have the shortened version online, but still, it's too far removed from aviation.
Yes, I mean, I remember there was the famous British Airways one recently where there was a lot of celebrities in quite a stark contrast. It was a plain white set, but they were at least on the aircraft seats, that gave a bit of a better idea of what it was actually all about.
I mean, if you look at the industry as a whole, it hasn't been taken well. But another thing that hasn't been taken well in the industry over the past week is, or not even the past week, the past month, is Boeing, and particularly with the 737 MAX. And it's been another turbulent week this week. However, like last week, there is a glimmer of good news this week. So let's start with the bad. The MAX was grounded, the MAX 9 indeed, was grounded early January, meaning the fleet has been grounded for the best part of the month so far. Alaska Airlines has 65 Boeing 737 MAX 9s, according to CH Aviation, with 247 total aircraft. So there's not an insignificant chunk of the fleet that it hasn't been able to fly for a large chunk of January. And if you look at flight schedules, you know, they're planned to maximize aircraft usage. So a grounding has significant impact on the airline because they're not thinking, oh, let's just not schedule so many flights in case a quarter of our or a fifth of our fleet is grounded. It's less of an impact if you've only got two or three in a fleet of 247. But anyway, yesterday as we're recording this, Alaska Airlines announced its financial results for Q4. And you may be thinking, Q4 doesn't address January. Why are you talking about this? Well, the airline did mention that it's expecting a significant financial hit from the aircraft grounding. According to Alaska, the airline is expecting a negative $150 million impact from the groundings. And before the groundings, it had expected capacity to grow by 3-5%. But now a maximum of 3% growth is expected in a best case. It's not all bad news for the MAX 9, though, as it looks as though we could be expecting the aircraft to now return to the skies. Alaska Airlines has already scheduled some of the jets to return to service today, but this didn't stop the airline's CEO, Ben Minicucci, saying that he was angry with Boeing over the issues. And I think, as you know, anyone would be angry with Boeing over the issues. United also said that they might not even consider the MAX 10 in their future fleet plans now because of all this. But speaking of United, they are echoing Alaska's return to service after in-depth inspections across the fleet. The US airline has received final approval from the FAA to return the jet to service and is planning to operate the MAX 9 by Sunday at the latest. In a statement, the United Airlines Executive Vice President and Chief Operations Officer, who's a guy called Tony Engfist, said, "Our entire tech ops team has rallied to get this done and has been on from day one. They have had more work to do in the days ahead. Please join me in thanking them for everything they're doing to safely return the MAX 9 to service." Now, if you're due to fly on the Boeing 737 MAX in the coming days, you may be feeling a bit uneasy, but personally, I don't think you should. Firstly, all of these aircraft have undergone intense scrutiny, so, you know, similar issues would not be present. They would have been found and rectified. But it's also interesting to look at the MAX's return to service after its last grounding. And I'm going to dial in on Ryanair here, because multiple times I had a chat with Michael O'Leary, and he told me the airline would let skeptical MAX flyers switch over onto other flights operated by the Dash 800. But the airline eventually saw minimal take-up on the offer, and everyone was kind of, despite all of this drama in the media, people were happy to fly on the MAX. So I kind of think it's going to be a similar situation this time around. But speaking of the original MAX grounding, Boeing also delivered its first 737 MAX to a Chinese airline earlier this week. While China had already resumed operation with existing 737 MAX jets in the country, this is the first delivery since the plane was grounded. So quite a few years now. And, you know, there's way more MAX news that I could dive into this week, but I think it's going to get a bit too long and arduous.
That could be a podcast in itself, couldn't it?
Yeah, if you do want to read more, head over to simpleflying.com, but I think it's a good time to move back to you, Jake.
Indeed, yes. So from a very new aircraft to a much older one, I wanted to talk about Loganair's retirement of the Saab 340. So the Scottish regional carrier has finally taken the Swedish twin turboprop out of its fleet after 24 years of service. Those familiar with Loganair will know that it was often present on its regional routes up in Scotland to some of the more remote destinations even if they're not necessarily big tourist hotspots, it provides an essential air link for the local communities there. The final flight involving the type at Loganair was one from Kirkwall to Glasgow via Inverness, and it was given the special flight number LM340. The aircraft involved in this type in this flight was an example of the 340B model with the registration G-LGNA, and it took place on Thursday the 25th of January, which also happened to be the 41st anniversary of the Saab 340's first ever flight. Upon its arrival in Glasgow on Thursday lunchtime, as is customary for such flights, it was welcomed by a water cannon salute, but also in a more Scottish turn of events, a bagpiper was present as well. The crew on board this flight was also specially selected and had relevance of its own. The captain was Logan Air's then longest serving pilot, Eddie Watt, whose retirement flight was this final Saab 340 service. So he's now retired aged 65 after having been with Logan Air since 1996. Meanwhile, the cabin crew also featured Nicola Charlish, who is Logan Air's longest serving cabin crew member in Aberdeen. And the other cabin crew member was Lionel McLean, who was also completing his final commercial flight before retirement. As it happens, it wasn't just the crew that was special for this flight, but also a couple of Logan Air celebrities, if you will, were on board, namely the twins David and Lindsay Henderson. This pair have a special connection to Logan Air because they were actually born on an air ambulance flight operated by the carrier some 41 years ago. Logan Air also looked back at some of its other notable Saab 340 flights as part of this retirement event, and highlighted in particular the fact that it had used the type to transport the Olympic flame to Shetland and Stornoway ahead of the 2012 Games in London. As far as the future of its regional fleet is concerned, it'll be replacing the Saab 340 with other turboprops from the Franco-Italian manufacturer ATR, which are quieter and more fuel efficient than the Saab 340, as well as having more seats. So in terms of modernising the fleet, it's the right time for it to go, but I'm sure it's an aircraft that many of Logan Air's frequent flyers will have fond memories of, and to a certain extent they'll be sad to see it go. I don't know about you, Tom, it's not an aircraft that I've ever flown on, but there really is something about these small, cute turboprops.
It's not a plane I've flown on, and it's not a plane I want to fly. No. No, you know, like if it's bigger than a Cessna 172 and smaller than an Airbus A220, I'm not really interested. but, you know, I do see why it's got a lot of significance to a lot of people. But my last story of this week, if I can take over again,
absolutely,
is back in Europe like yours. But where else than Germany? Of course, such a story has to involve the Lufthansa Group. But I'm not going to be talking about today's Discover Airlines strike, but rather connectivity at 32,000 feet. So while we take connectivity for granted on the ground, it can be really noticeable when it's missing in the skies. Some people enjoy switching off and disconnecting from the world, but others may want to get on with work or check the latest soccer scores. For these people, Lufthansa's latest announcements will be a boon. In its latest announcement, the Lufthansa Group has revealed that it wants all Airbus A220 and 320 family aircraft operated by Austrian Lufthansa and Swiss to be equipped with in-flight connectivity. So more than 150 aircraft will need to have the technology installed across the 220, the Airbus A319, the 320ceo, the 320neo, the 321ceo, and the 321neo. Some 200 aircraft in the A320 family already have internet capabilities installed, but Lufthansa has committed to making it standard on these fleets. Outfitting the remaining aircraft is due to begin between October and December this year, and it's forecast to last around 2 years. But it's not just the availability of onboard internet that's being expanded, but also the cost of accessing the service. So from now on, anyone with a Miles & More account or a Lufthansa Group Travel ID can use free messaging service when flying aboard an aircraft with connectivity installed. There's no cost to creating one of these accounts, which means such access is effectively free. If you do need more premium internet service, however, perhaps for filing spreadsheets of aircraft registrations that you've flown on, like the Saab, the aircraft isn't, Lufthansa, sorry, has now reduced the cost of the premium package to just €6, around $6.54. And that's around half of what it cost at the start of the year. This is a change that's already announced last November, so not huge, but still important, I think. If you're traveling, free messaging is the way to go. So who is the investment for? On the face of it, it seems that the investment into providing internet on board these fleets is very customer focused. And of course, it has a big customer focus. However, the airlines themselves also benefit from the move. So Lufthansa revealed that crews on board equipped flights can use the service for tasks such as optimizing flight routes mid-flight. And this will give them the ability to cut fuel consumption and CO2 emissions. But the new technology is also lighter than previous generation while offering more functionality. Less weight directly translates into fuel and CO2 savings, and that's even before you factor in the optimized flight routes that I just mentioned. And in terms of increased functionality, the current generation of antennas only connect to satellites via the Ka band, but the new antennas will be installed and they'll be able to access Europe-wide ground coverage through 4G LTE ground masts. So I think that's quite a cool thing, just improving this connectivity for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember the first time I used Wi-Fi on a plane, I was somewhat blown away by it. I mean, I'm someone that is normally quite happy with a book or some music or a film on my personal device, but it's really cool to have that option there.
Well, I would say, having flown China Eastern earlier this year, I think anyone that manages to get the internet working on those flights deserves a PhD.
Not the easiest.
It was it took me 3 hours to get my device on and of the flight, and I gave up trying to connect my wife's device.
Okay. At least you had a lot of time in that flight in which to do that. I suppose on one of these short-haul Lufthansa ones, that would be game over.
Yeah, but then also there's not really much you can do on that flight because the Wi-Fi access is behind the Great Firewall of China.
Oh,
so,
of course.
I didn't have a Google is banned, so I couldn't work out how, I could only access things where I knew the web address where it hadn't been blocked by China. So it was a fun one.
I hope you're able to access Simple Flying at least.
No comment.
Well, that's it for today's podcast, I think. We hope you enjoyed it, and we welcome any feedback at editorial@simpleflying.com.
For more great content, you can visit our website at simpleflying.com or find us on social media. Simply search for Simple Flying.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a rating on your favourite podcast player.
Thanks for listening, and goodbye.